Hi.
Oh my goodness, it's been how long?
Oh my gosh, multiple months.
Multiple months.
Since May, no, June.
Yeah, May, yeah, or June. June,
Father's,
yeah,
Day.
Wow. And here we are, seniors. August
20th.
Going to be
2021. Seniors. Wow.
So much has happened.
So much.
So much has happened. And throughout all this here, the podcast has stood. I guess, when would we start this?
June of 2020. So wow, we had our 1 year anniversary. We've been doing this for over a year, you know, given a few months here and there. But we are still standing. We are still here.
We're still kicking.
We're still kicking. Excited to come out with new content. I mean, I know we said this in our last episode, but truly the support has still reined in, and you know, all the people have messaged and be like, we can't wait for you to return and come back. Like, it has really meant the world.
It's so heartwarming.
It is. And I'm like, wow, people miss listening to us and hearing our voice. And that's just really special. And we really appreciate it. We really appreciate the patience.
Yes.
And I feel like we just have such a great base of people who love and support us, and really makes me so happy and fills my heart.
Same. It's so cool to think about. And, you know, whether it's like people from high school, mm-hmm, or people that I don't even know that Kim knows from her school, or vice versa, you know, from my school, it's just so weird to think how many people are listening to us right now, you know, when this episode drops, and people are going to be listening to this through their computers or their phones and their headphones. It's surreal, because you listen to so many other people who seem so like far away or like disconnected, or maybe are celebrities or whatever, but it's like we're doing that too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cool to think about. And like, through all of the challenges of this year, like the fact that we still could come back here and do this and make content and have the energy to do this, I'm very proud of us.
I'm really proud of us too. And you know, there's been a lot that's transpired in the last few months, a lot of major changes and shifts, and just a lot. So again, I'm just so grateful that we're here and that we're reviving this platform as another means to grapple with everything, to get in touch with people, to uplift our Black women. You know, that's the center of everything we do. And yeah, I'm really happy to be back.
Absolutely. Me too. I guess we have to jump into our little intro. Do we have a signature intro at this point?
Well, as you all know, you can find us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really means the world. We love reading them.
We love so excited. Reading them. And sometimes we'll, like, reread them, and it's like, it literally every time you read them, it feels like new.
Yes.
Even if we've seen them, like the first review we have, like, it means a lot, and it's, yes, so fun to read, and just so positive and so encouraging. And like, those are the things that really keep us going, knowing that people are learning from our stories, resonating with our stories,
mm-hmm,
you know, feel connected with us. Like, we feel connected with all of you guys, you know. It's just, it's something beautiful. And also, I wanted to say, like Kim said, there's been so much death and so many changes this year. I hope all of your families are well. I hope you're well. And just the fact that we are still here, and we're making it through a worldwide pandemic, and we're making it through the personal challenges in our lives, like, you have to be proud of yourself. Even if you feel like, I don't know, even if you may think, oh, I didn't do my internship this summer, or this thing's going wrong, or this other thing's going wrong, or quote unquote wrong, you have to just be proud of yourself that you're still breathing and you're still here. And I think that we don't cherish that enough.
I agree. I think the small wins have been tremendous.
Yeah.
And I've definitely rewired my thinking around success and expectations and the pressure that I'm putting myself. I think especially within these last 6 months, that has shifted dramatically for me, because it really got to a point of just not being healthy and expecting, mm-hmm, so much, when you're unconsciously trying to grapple with your world changing and us literally enduring things that we've never had before. I mean,
and our parents haven't even had.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's like nobody knows where to turn to. And so I think you just have to give yourself so much grace, because the fact that I'm just waking up every day, breathing, living, like have food to eat at that point, like that is a blessing. And that like is something that I cherish every single day. And sometimes that is like the success of the day. That is like the important thing of the day. And like, I'm totally okay with that. And I think it's really important to like have that shift in mindset and realize how important that is.
Yeah. And I think that this is kind of, you know, leading us into the topic of our episode, which is kind of going to be, you know, not only a life update, but just looking at like where we're going from here.
Yeah.
What are our senior years going to look like in a world with COVID, in a world with loss? And, you know, what are we expecting from this year? What are our expectations? What can we get out of this year with so much going on, so many ugly things rearing their heads and so much uncertainty? And I think like one of the scariest parts of all of this is, like we said, the fact that our parents, this is a level of like existential dread that I feel like even our parents haven't faced. So like when I go to my mom and I'm just like, mom, like sometimes I just stand in my mom's room and I look at her and she just looks at me and I'm just like, mom. And she's like, Bree, honey, yes. And I'm like, I can't even fathom that we're living in a pandemic and my dad just passed and I'm going to be a senior and then I'm going to have to go into the real world. And I just like, it's just so many things that I can't even fathom. I know every single person like listening to this has their own like version of that, you know, their own tale, their own struggles where they stop and they look and it's just like, what is going on? What is this all for? Why did this happen? What's going on? And when you ask your parents that, they don't even have an answer for you because they themselves are sitting there scratching their heads, wondering the same thing.
Yes. I think it's been so much time of trying to process things that have just piled and piled on because it's so many traumatic things back to back to back, whether personally or happening in the world, that it's so hard to like sit down and fully take in what is happening. Like I still feel like I'm mentally like experiencing and feeling things that happened like last summer.
Same.
Like yes. I've been processing and sitting and like really feeling it. And I'm happy I'm feeling it, but it's like delayed.
So delayed.
It was so much that transpired and went on. And I agree. I mean, I like talk to my mom all the time and I'm just like, I just can't believe it. And like, there's just no other way to really say it. Right. It's just,
yeah.
I can't believe I'm here right now. I can't believe I'm like living in this moment right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels surreal. And I feel like sometimes I feel like I have out of body experiences. Like there's no way. What timeline is this? Cause I might've jumped over to the wrong one. Like
I crossed into some other dimension.
We're in the twilight zone. Like that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like sometimes. Like you look back at things and you're like, there's no way that was meant to happen. Right. And it's like, no, we're here. We're experiencing it. And it's like, you have to ground yourself in it, but also you can't get sucked into it. Cause I feel like you'll just go into like psychosis or something.
I agree.
Like some of these major world events, yes, feel and allow yourself to feel, but if you need to compartmentalize and not think about it for a minute and just watch some Netflix or watch some HBO Max, that's what you got to do. It's just like finding the balance. And I know like my friends are sick of me here like saying that word, because I think that that's like a guiding word to me is balance, is finding that sweet spot. Because when you find that sweet spot, it feels so good. But when you're in an extreme of maybe not caring about the pandemic, or in the other extreme of caring so much that you feel crippled with fear and anxiety, neither of those places are good. And I think that we as a whole need to kind of find that spot. You know, I think also that applies to, you know, the individual versus the community. And I think that there's some real extremes going on right now with people focusing way too much on the individual. And honestly, maybe we don't see an extreme of people focusing on the community, at least in the US. I think we're all tilted to one extreme, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I think the community aspect is definitely lagging. And I think just in answering this question of like, where do we move forward and what does our future look like? This cannot be fixed without the community. Because that's telling Bria, like, even if there is to be some type of government mandate where everybody has to get vaccinated, even if that's a legally viable thing that we can do, like, that still takes, like, a vote in Congress.
Yeah.
That still takes two extremes coming together. So it is this community aspect, and it's just very scary when we obviously live in a capitalist white supremacist society that's not driven to be equitable, that's not driven to think about the betterment of all people. When you live in that kind of society, it's just kind of like, how is this going to happen?
That's what I think causes the existential dread. Yep. When you see people not being able to come together, therefore there's no end in sight. Mm-hmm. Because we don't have any real mandates that will let you think, okay, by this time we'll be good. And I think that's what's literally driving us all insane. Mm-hmm. Because no one can withstand extended periods of time of feeling confined or feeling isolated and feeling as though you're in a never-ending cycle. And I think that this is like the first time in my life where I've really felt like existentially, like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think that it was better in the beginning because obviously I had just started, but mm-hmm. also there was a sense of finality.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, we're going to have an extended spring break and like that's like 2 extra weeks and then we'll be back. And then it was like, okay, maybe not, but by next year it'll be okay. By next school year it'll be okay. And then it wasn't. And now we're here and it's like, how much of our college experience has been eaten up? And we still don't have a definite answer of when this thing's going to be over. And I think that we're rushing. We're rushing to get past all of this. But like with our actions of making sure schools are open and getting kids back to classrooms, we're almost being counterproductive. And mm-hmm. those actions of rushing us all back to either workplaces or schools or jobs or whatever, we're almost putting us back to square one. Yeah. And I think that if we had all just said, you know what, if they tell me I can't go back to school in person for this one fall semester, but after that it's guaranteed that we'll be okay for the rest of our lives, I would take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. And I think just what really kills me is that the resources are there.
Mm.
In the United States, the resources are there, right? We mm-hmm. have the masks, we have the vaccines, we literally have more vaccines than we need. And yet I think only 50% of our population, like as we're currently filming this, is like vaccinated, right? So it's like, you have the resources, you have the good information, we have the universities producing this research, and yet people aren't following that. And that kills me because there's other parts of the country where in the United States, we're talking about third boost, people haven't gotten the first one.
Mm.
So I think that's what kills me is that we literally have the resources, but because of the extreme greed, this we should have gotten to a place by now where we could have reached herd immunity, you know, prevented all these other strains from forming. Now you have literally kids in school dying because governors are banning masks in schools and not protecting educators and children and families.
And while they're banning masks and endangering lives, they're receiving the third booster.
Oh, yes, they are, Mr. Texas governor.
So what is that? What is that?
What is that?
So on one hand, you want to, you know, make moves acting as though COVID's not a real threat, but you yourself are going to be suited up to the T against COVID. Okay, make that make sense. Make that make sense.
It's ridiculous.
And I think we're all reaching our breaking points.
Yeah.
Because how long can you be expected to forge on? And I think like COVID has made us all hypocrites because at least I know, I feel like up until my dad passing, I was very like, or trying my best, I'll say, to, you know, really do the most I could against COVID and like be as safe as possible. And, you know, the most I was doing was traveling between Philly and New York because, you know, I was dealing with a health crisis at home, so I would go from school to New York to be with my family and vice versa. But, you know, on Amtrak, I would have double masks and I had gloves and I had hand sanitizer and I was very wary and all that stuff and, like, only going out of, you know, necessity. But, you know, after my dad was like, I'm not in a place where I can just, like, sit home and twiddle my thumbs and stare at the walls like I did. I don't have the mental fortitude and neither does my family. And so then, you know, we did a trip to Arizona for Father's Day. And we've done other trips to see family in other places. And it's like, I feel bad because I obviously don't want to purposely endanger people. And, you know, obviously I feel better being vaccinated, but you still know that that's not an end all be all. That's not enough. But it's like mentally, I don't know how much more I can take, if that makes sense. And I think that people have all have varying breaking points. I know that we were just talking, like, some people's breaking points was March 2020.
It's spring break 2020.
It was spring break 2020 and was, you know, we're partying and doing cookouts in the summer. And it's like, Kim and I did not see each other like all of 2020. We didn't see each other at home. And like, you know, we had the mental fortitude then, but it's like, after a year,
it's wearing out.
It's wearing out.
Yeah. And again, like I definitely can relate to a lot of what Bria said. You know, it's like, you try to do the best you can, but like, I've been on a trip. You know what I mean? I think at this point, a lot of people have been on trips or have done things that, you know, definitely
would be deemed.
Yeah, definitely deemed not like,
yeah,
you know, acceptable. And I think it's hard because I think the vaccine, like being fully vaccinated, it did give us this false hope. And there was this encouragement of, okay, like you can gather in certain groups of people and like, you know what I mean? There are certain things you can do, but the reality situation is, there's just still risk regardless, right? Like there's always so just going to be some risk with COVID as a factor. And so I think it's hard because I think, yes, like, could we all have genuinely like stayed inside, whatever, like physically, maybe yes, mentally, no. But then it's also hard because I think there was this encouragement once the vaccines come out that like you can gather, businesses are open. Like I think in New York too, like, there's just been a whole campaign of New York is back, right?
Yes.
So there also is, I think, like public framing of this idea that like we can be more lenient. But again, it's like the reality of the situation is like things aren't getting better.
We could have been more lenient if every single person had gotten vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we're just hovering at like, it's either like 50 or 60% nationwide as like the first shot.
Yeah.
It's like we're still hovering at that at this point. It's not good enough.
It's not.
And the thing about COVID and, you know, just, I guess, disease in general of this nature is it doesn't just affect you and it's not just your own internalized risk. So while you may be like willing to go somewhere and risk whatever and say, I'm going to be as safe as possible, but, you know, at this point it is what it is. It still affects everywhere you go and it affects everyone. And it's just horrible.
It is. I think the ultimate thing here is that we just all have to give each other like grace and like support. And like, I'm not saying this in a way to like excuse
just travel,
crazy behavior and tell people to just hop on a plane and go here and there. I think obviously get vaccinated, you know, get as protected as you can be. I think if you're doing things, do step to the CDC guidelines. We know even then it's not like always going to be enough. And there are breakthrough cases and all that's happening. But I do just think that at some point we have to give ourselves just some grace and that this is just a really hard thing that we're all experiencing. Yeah. And again, like I am not excusing any crazy behavior. I'm not excusing anybody who's choosing not to get vaccinated. No.
Yeah.
I'm totally not okay with that. That is totally unacceptable at this point. But I think it just really is hard because we all have these expectations of what we envisioned our college experiences to be like, what we envisioned our lives to be like. I know all my friends imagine themselves studying abroad in this country or that country, having this spring break trip, that one, planning, you know, to do this, you know, senior fall or that. And that is just out the window. And that's just a really hard thing to grapple with, especially like when you've worked so hard, when you have all these like visions for your life and like what you want to do and who you want to be and like the experiences that you thought would mold you into this person. Like that's all just gone. And so now it's like, well, what do you replace it with? How do I even get through this? You know, and it's hard because it's like shifting expectations and that's extremely difficult, especially for like overachievers and people just like, you know, like myself who just have all of these plans and visions and goals for what they thought the past two years were going to be like. And it's
just that timeline
different.
Is derailed. Mm-hmm. The visions and expectations have been shattered.
Yeah. And I think we just have to acknowledge that, you know what I mean? And I think that's why it's like, it's okay to grieve. It's okay to like do the best you can. I mean, again, like I think when I'm saying do the best you can, like my bare minimum is like vaccinated. Like, so just so we're all aware of like operating from that timeline. you know, but I think there does have to be some grace.
Yeah. And I think that there's equal blame between like individuals and government. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know equal, but I guess at least shared blame. You know, I don't think that you can expect much of people when you're not giving them solid mandates and, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And coming yeah. together to like create solid policy to beat this thing. Because right now we're living in like chaos. Yes, yeah. we have access to vaccines, but we need more than that.
Yeah, we need guidance.
We need guidance.
We need rules.
We need guidance. Mandates. And I think that so much of the guidance, like that has to come early on. And I think
I agree.
It was so botched from the election. Like, if we had a firm grasp and we didn't have a president at the time who literally didn't believe in anything and literally like defunded the pandemic like task force, I think that we would be in a much better place. Definitely. But like, you know, I've learned in my like risk assessment classes and all those things, you got to take root early.
Yeah. When it sets the precedent. It sets the precedent.
But, you know, when there's fear and there's panic and there's risk, if you wait, things are going to just devolve even more. But if we had leadership that was like, wear a mask, this is real, all of his little cronies would have heard that message and we wouldn't be where we are now.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be a politicized situation.
It wouldn't be politicized. I don't understand how you can politicize disease, but hey.
We've seen it all at this point. We have seen it all at this point. And again, it goes back to the greed. It goes back to the capitalism. There was profit to be gained from this pandemic. There was profit that was gained from this pandemic. And it's sad because it's really, really at sad. The expense of, I don't even know how many people have died at this point. Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands in the United States.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands. It's not, I don't
millions.
Know. I was about to say maybe
millions. It's been millions, I believe. I was also going to say, this is just one of those things that I'm sure everyone listening has had these own thoughts and own conversations and been unable to find a conclusion because there is none right now. Mm-hmm. But I guess the best thing we can do is just try to think of what we can learn from this. What can our government learn from this mm-hmm. so they can do better? What can we learn from this to make sure that, you know, we can change our own mindsets and do better when thinking about community at large. You know, I think that those are the only things we can reflect upon while we get through this.
I agree. And again, I think it's been a really important time to do a lot of self-reflection analysis on what you see as important, especially for me. I feel like I've lost so much like energy and capacity to like operate at 100%. So that's really forced me to then really only put like a lot of time and energy into things that are really important to me. The relationships are really important to me. And I think that has been a really good change for me. Right. Yeah. And then also just being a lot more realistic about like my own goals and my expectations. And that's not to say that I lowered them, but I think that's just to say that like, I can't operate on this time scale of like, oh, I have to do exactly this by this age and get this done and that done. Like,
because life will come around and laugh in your face.
Exactly. And, you know, I think you just have to let life happen sometimes. And that's just kind of the reality, right? Like,
yeah,
things are going to change and I could still have the same goals, but they might not happen on the same timeline that I want them to, because the reality is life is going to shift and change. And that's so hard to like get over, because you just want to force everything and like have everything go your way, but like that's just not going to happen sometimes, right? So then it's just like at the end of the day, you still have to be comfortable with the person you are. You still have to be proud of what you've done and your own accomplishments. You can't let that like overcome your like how you feel about yourself.
Agreed. I think that for me as well, this time has shattered my expectations mm-hmm. and really forced me to reevaluate like what is important, especially relationships that are important. And I feel as though when we do, you know, phase out of this and we do not even get back to normal, because we are definitely not getting back to normal, we're going to have to reach new heights You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back to the way things were before, because the way things were before let this happen.
Yeah.
I want to get to new heights. But when we get out of this and get to a new place as a country, as a society, I'm really not going to have any patience for BS and relationships that don't serve me and careers and jobs and classes and anything that doesn't serve me. I don't have the time for it. Because when you get down to your bare essence and you're just inside doing nothing, you have to like take stock. And, you know, the pandemic, I'm no way one of those people who's like, the pandemic, you know, was a blessing. Like, I would never say that, because people died and people suffered and we're all suffering. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
But it's just like, I'm one of those people that for my own brain and, you know, just my own like belief systems and everything, I have to like make my own meaning, if that makes sense. So I'm not saying that this pandemic is in any way some like big blessing, that we like really needed this. Like, I don't think that we needed this. But, you know, we are dealing with it. So I'm going to try to make my own meanings from it. And I think that hopefully, you know, the time that I've, you know, taken from this pandemic, I've used it in some positive ways. Obviously, there's been some times where I've been very angry, very sad, very upset. And that's all normal. And you should be upset at this situation. But there's also moments where I just go into myself, or I journal or whatever. And, you know, I count my blessings for the things that I still have, and look at what's really important to me, and look at how I want to be better when this thing is over.
That's just so well said. And that's so beautiful. I think, you know, for me as well too, coming out of this, I just feel like a completely different person.
I feel like we've aged 100 years.
100 years. 100 years. I just feel like so many things that I stressed over and so many things that kept me up at night, I'm just like, it's not important.
It's not important.
It's not important. Like, life is so much bigger than this essay or this test or any of these other things. And that's not to say I don't care. That's not to say, like, you know, you're not going to put your effort into things, but it really shows you what is important in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not all these little things that I was stressing over. And I think just operating now with that mindset has just made me feel just a lot more mature, honestly.
I agree.
Just about life. You know what I mean? Because I would sit and I would tell my parents all these issues and problems, and my dad just be sitting there like, you done? You done yet? Laughing. I'm just like, Dad, like, it's the end of the world, all this stuff. And he would just sit there looking at me crazy.
Because he knows.
Yes. And I think I finally now reached his level of, you just have to have patience. You just have to let life go how life is going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we've both been able to do so much internal work during this pandemic.
A lot of internal
work. Not saying I wanted a pandemic for me to have to do this work.
Mm-mm.
I could have done this.
We could have done this another way.
We didn't need all this. But I guess because it's here, I'll take the time, I guess. But so much self-reflection. And maybe we can get into, like, lessons we've learned.
Yeah.
That, I feel like that could be a whole episode.
That could be a whole episode.
We could probably do that, I don't know, maybe not next time, but sometime you will see that episode soon.
Yeah, but we need to give a little life update, so.
Yes, what are we doing this year? How is your senior year supposed to go?
Yes, why don't you start?
Okay, so I am going to be doing my fall semester in DC through the Penn in Washington program, and I'm so very excited. I'm going to be living in DC. We're going to be taking like some classes in DC as well. And I'm going to be interning with a really amazing congressperson, which I'm super, super excited about. Like, top choice, really just align with his views. And I'm very excited. I just feel like I'm going to learn so much, you know? And it'll be a great start to my senior year. And I think it's what I needed, you know, just when I think about Penn, there's been so many ups and downs. And I feel like I associate almost a lot of the hard things with Penn, if that makes sense. And like, you know, even the times I like went down to, you know, Penn and like my apartment over the summer or whatever, like, I don't know, I didn't feel that happy. And, you know, like, I'd be walking around and I'd be looking at things and I'd be like, oh, wow, like this thing happened here, or think of a certain person that I no longer want to think of, or even think of my dad, you know, thinking about, wow, we went here when he first moved me in. And like, I just don't think I need to be there right now.
Yeah, that's so fair.
I don't think I need to be in that space right now. And so it's kind of like a win-win. I'll be in a new atmosphere. I love DC. My brother went to school in DC. So, you know, I've been there before and I've had a lot of fun there. And I'm just so excited. I just feel as though it's going to bring on so much positivity. And I'm in a place where I feel like I'm ready to be as social and safe as possible.
Yes, yes. And I can't wait to safely visit Bria in DC. So that is exciting. That is really exciting. In terms of what I have looking ahead for senior year, so crazy saying that, you know, have just doing some really exciting classes, really happy. I'm double concentrating, which is like the same thing as majoring here at Brown, but a lot of my requirements are done, which is great. Wow. So I have just picked out so many amazing courses, so excited about them. A lot of them have to do with Black women. So I just feel like it's going to be a great year where I'm actually going to just like be learning unapologetically and just having a lot of fun in my courses. I'll also be writing a thesis, which has been quite a daunting task, but I'm super excited about it. I honestly think that once I like really get into my groove of things, it will just flow and it will work and it will happen. And I'm just super excited to have that experience. And I think that will just be a really exciting step for me. Something that like I probably haven't shared is that like writing has always been like a slow progression of advancement for me. Mm-hmm. Like I remember literally being like, well, we told the story how in high school, like I was just told I was a terrible writer, all this stuff. So to be at a point where like I am writing a thesis, you know what I mean? It just feels really good.
That's beautiful.
Just feels really good to know that my writing is at that point. And yeah, so I'm super excited about that and so excited for that experience. I'm also going to be doing just some really great work with some organizations, transitioning out of some leadership roles, assuming new ones. And I'm really ready to just kind of leave my mark and kind of tie up different loose ends to really just leave marks on the organizations I've created at Brown and advanced at Brown. And that is just something I'm really looking forward to. And having just that deep breath spring semester of knowing like I'm done and I did this and I can't believe it. I'll be the first in my family to graduate from an Ivy. And I'm really proud of myself and I'm really looking forward to what's ahead. I really am.
I'm so proud of you and I'm so proud of us. And I know the picture you just painted, thinking about spring, I could start crying. Like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. Like, my heart is like so full thinking of where we're going to be in the spring and like, we're really going to be graduating.
Yeah. And it's just so much like has built up to this point that it does not feel real at all.
We've done so much. Despite all things, against all odds, we've done so much. I'm going to be a thesis buddy with you. I'm going to be doing my thesis as well. That's going to be a whole new challenge.
There's going to be a lot of late nights in the library.
Oof, yeah.
A lot of late nights.
Very much so. I'm excited. I think we'll have more like ruminations on senior year, you know, as the season progresses. But I don't have the words. I'm a little speechless right now thinking about senior year and thinking about graduating and the energy change that's going to come, you know, like,
oh yes.
Like in some ways I don't want to, but in some ways I'm so ready.
Yeah. I was thinking about it and I honestly think by the time May rolls around, I'll be ready to go.
I think so.
Y'all might look over and see a couple of tears streaming down my eyes at graduation, but I will be ready to go.
Oh my goodness. I hope I don't cry too much. I don't want to ruin my makeup.
I'm definitely going to shed a couple tears because I'm just the most emotional person.
Oh, I'm going to. I feel like I'm going to sob. I champion that. So. I feel like I'm going to look at my friends and sob.
Yeah. Because it's just so much that happened. But we'll get there. We'll
get there.
We have many episodes before we get to the graduation episode.
I just had a moment thinking of, like, you know, like, after every graduation, like, you're crying, but you're, like, happy, but it's, like, bittersweet, and then, like, you guys go out to dinner.
Yes.
I was thinking of, like, the graduation dinner, and, like, everyone in the restaurant's like, oh, like, congrats, grad, and it's, like, that's a real, like, high.
Yeah.
And then you're, like, embarking on a new chapter.
What a world we have ahead. I'm so excited.
So what a world. Exciting. What a time to be alive.
Well, with that, I guess we can really wrap up. So first episode back, Brie and I are so excited to get started again, to continue putting out episodes. We have missed this so much. And again, just thank you so much for listening, for your support. As always, please DM us, like, any thoughts you have, any, like, I don't know, anything that pops into your mind while we're filming these episodes. We get, like, a nice bit of DMs, and they're always just so exciting to, like, open, to read. Some people have ideas, different opportunities, so definitely feel free to hit us up.
Yes, and our Instagram is heart2heartpodcast. Feel free to follow us on there. We're pretty active on there. We always check everything. And, yeah. Also, if you ever feel moved to financially donate, I know we've been getting increased questions about that. We have a tab. I believe it's on our Anchor official, like, page. If you go there, you can subscribe or do a one-time donation. Anything you feel moved to do if you ever want to support us. So feel free to check that out. We love you all so much.
Yes. Thank you so much. And we will talk to you next time.
Talk to you next time. Bye.